Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in to the podcast. We have a great word to share with you today at Destiny Church. Sit back, be encouraged, and let's get into the word.
Okay, so today, you're going to see my slide. You see the Good Shepherd, and I wrote this sermon because I was just in Minnesota at my family farm, my home farm, and my sisters all have their own farms, but my dad has always had sheep, like all of my growing up years. And we have it's a sheep farm. It's separate from our home farm. We go to another farm and it's just full of sheep. And we had had thousands of sheep growing up. Do you know what 1,000 sheep look like? 1,000 plus, 2,000, 3,000 sheep look like when they run across the field? Just looks like clouds moving over the field. It's great. It's great. But I learned a lot growing up on a farm. I love it. I wish I could give that to my kids. I don't exactly have a farm, but it was a blessing for me. And growing up specifically a sheep farmer was really profound because obviously later in life, I went to ministry school, and that's what we are compared to in the gospel quite often. And you learn a lot from that too. It's actually really, really offensive that we are compared to sheep. Sheep are the most stupid animal on the farm. I'd debate they're more stupid than a chicken. I would. Now, this I say because, like I said, I grew up with them. Now, maybe some sheep are smarter than others, but the smart animal is a goat. A goat can do anything. It's way smart. It'll outsmart you. It'll get out every pen. But a sheep, man, you could, like, give it imaginary borders, and it would just couldn't think out. Like, it's just unbelievable how simple-minded sheep are. They just, it's crazy to me. And then I'm like, well, the Lord compares us to sheep. Come on, Lord. But now that I'm I'm not like a head pastor of this church, Pastor Eric is, of course, but I get to pastor people. And I realize more and more how much myself, I am like a sheep, and people really are like sheep. And it's specific to one aspect about how we respond. It's far more about, it's not like how dumb we are. Yes, of course, we're far more intelligent than a sheep would be. But we respond a lot like sheep respond to motivation or to fear. Almost identical, I'd debate. Now, why do I say that? How do we talk about that? Well, I want to play a video for you. This is a video I recorded actually in 2018. It wasn't most recent. Davina is in this video. She is 2 years old if it's 2018. So this is a video from my dad's. This is the old farm. This is the sheep farm. You're going to see some junk around there. It's also got a lot of junk on it. But a storm had just gone through. And so there's like tin in the pen with the sheep because it just ripped tin off the shed recently. But anyway, I want you guys to play this video. And you're just going to get an idea of the simplicity and the joy of farming, and specifically sheep. Go ahead and play that, guys.
Want me to explain to you why they won't come? Because they're not used to you guys.
This is my dad talking.
If it was just me, they would all come up here. Sheep know who their shepherd is. Here, sheep!
Here, sheep!
Here, sheep! Here, sheep! Come on! Here, sheep!
Here, sheep!
Here, sheep!
Here, sheep!
Here comes some. See him down there? See him coming running? Here, sheep!
Yeah, way down in the corner there, you see a flock of sheep coming.
What's that? What's that?
Here, sheep!
All right, so that's the video. And my dad's about to say, those are goats, because they're already there. They don't even have to be called. They're just there. That's like, I'm telling you, goats are way smarter than sheep, tremendously smarter. Okay, well, where's the scripture on this, Ryan? I have lots of scripture today. If you have your Bible, if you have your phone with the scripture on it, I actually like that because I can navigate my phone a lot faster than I can my Bible. But go ahead and turn to John 10. Now, I know we'll always have these scriptures on the screen, but I really do like if you could grab your scripture and perhaps take some notes, perhaps be challenged in scripture, because as you're going to hear today, I just think we need a whole lot more scripture in our life. So John 10, starting there in verse 1, I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. So do you know the good shepherd's voice? Do you know the voice of God in our life, the voice of Jesus? We're going to continue. Jump down to John 10 again. You're going to continue down to verse 9. It says, yes, I am the gate. This is Jesus. Why is it important that you know he's the gate? You know that no one can come to the Father except through Jesus. There's no exceptions. There's no anything. There's no exceptions. You cannot get to the Father except through Jesus. Amen. It's heartbreaking to me that my Jewish friends don't know that yet. And it really does break my heart. But you cannot. It's an absolute of the gospel. There's no bending this rule. It's an absolute. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. See, we're going to run into a conflict here really fast. I'm talking about, do you know the good shepherd's voice? And I think anybody that's like, I've been saved for any amount of time or just got saved, yeah, I kind of do. I kind of get it. But I want to challenge some things right now in the culture, and in specifically, I'm referring to Christians in today's culture. So there seems to be a disconnect between today's Christians and the gospel. Did you hear what I just said? There's a disconnect between today's Christians and the gospel. Do you understand this? This, of course, is actually good for teaching on God's love and acceptance, or I mean grace, sorry. Get those confused. It's hard to know the difference in today's Christian culture. So if I can disconnect from portions of the gospel, it's really easy to fill up this church. Everybody, you guys, it doesn't matter what you're doing in life. And this statement is true. I don't care what you're doing in life. Come to church. But now it's on you to stay in church and to actually eat the things that are served in a church. And how many of you loved vegetables growing up? You just love them. Hey, actually, I'm starting to like them. Miles is playing tricks on my mind and trying to get me to eat more vegetables. And I'm very thankful for that, Miles. But nobody really liked things that were good for them. But if I, at this church, take out portions of the gospel, you're going to like church a whole lot more. You're going to feel a whole lot more comfortable. You're not going to be challenged. All you're going to know about is God's love and the joy and the acceptance, and there'll be no challenges to you. And you'll be happy, and you'll think, man, I've got this figured out. It doesn't matter really what I do. I can't mess this up. God's grace will cover it. He accepts me, and I accept people around me, no matter what they're doing. That is a disconnect from the gospel. That's not truth. That's a part of the truth. That's partially true, as Facebook likes to say. That's partially true. But I have come for the whole truth, right? I didn't come up here today to preach partial truth, and Jesus didn't come to the world to give partial truth. He came for the whole truth. He is truth. There's not my truth. There's not your truth. That's not real. It's complete truth. It's God. God and Jesus. Jesus is truth. Absolutely, completely finished. There's no amendments to the truth of Jesus. He is truth. So do you know the shepherd's voice? I'm going to keep asking that. See, if we go and make an emphasis on love and acceptance, this is going to help us stay way more relevant with today's culture. Right? It helps keep the church full, as I said. But my challenge today is, as Christians, you're not called to be politically correct. Do you get that? Listen, I understand that some of you are like, uh-oh, this message is going downhill fast. But I'm sorry, I'm bringing the complete gospel. I'm not going to cut it up, chop it, and serve it to you, and here it is, and that's just love, and that's all that there is, and just keep going. Now, I do believe the emphasis of the gospel is Deuteronomy 6:5, which is love God, love people. Don't get me wrong for a second. But that doesn't mean that that's all I focus on. I want to go after more. How about you? In fact, you're called to be countercultural. You should be directly opposing the world's stances on all kinds of morality issues, all kinds of issues all over the place. You're called to be countercultural, not go with the flow, man, and keep the peace. In fact, that's not at all what the gospel's about. Do we realize that? See, of course, there's this idea of, here's why. I'll just say it to you really simple. The big idea here is because our culture is all about me. It's all about me. You're in this world, we're trying to live about and for ourselves. It's self-worship. We talk about this all the time, and Eric, and I'm going to say it a little later, but I'm going to say it right now. Eric talked about the idea of an antichrist. And we interpret that in the English language as the opposite of Christ. They don't want you to have Christ. No, actually, in the Greek, it means, this is Eric's teaching, he said this just, I don't know, 2 weeks ago, said it actually means instead of, in place of Christ. And in today's culture, what do we put in that place? What does the world put in that place? You, man, you are in that spot. I get to be put in that spot. I am the most important thing in this world, right? That's the opposite of what the gospel is all about. The gospel is about putting God in that spot. Come on. Okay, so y'all are like, geez, this kid drank too much coffee this morning. All right, so I'm going to do some more challenging stuff. Guys, I hope that you don't, please don't get offended. I know I'm kind of getting wild. This is a message for me, and it hit me hard when it hit me. And there's a lot of things that, like, I can't do the gospel if I'm going to do it lukewarm. I'm not interested in coming here for a social club. There's plenty of social clubs in town. This isn't just thank God we have brothers and sisters in Christ and we get to iron sharpens iron. But do you understand iron sharpens iron means we disagree and we work together and we fight to find the truth. It's not all just love, grace, and acceptance. Acceptance is the exact opposite of iron sharpening iron. So what's the difference between a politically correct Christian and a Christian in a coma? What's the difference? If I am not going to give you the gospel the way the Bible has it, but I'm saved, and that is important. We need to be saved. And now it is important, too, that you understand there's a difference between being saved and actually being active in the gospel. You can be saved and go to heaven. And ultimately, of course, it's my desire for you. I want you to be saved and go to heaven. I want to be saved and go to heaven. But what is the difference between me zipping my lips so I don't offend somebody, so I don't go against today's culture, and just coming up here and tell you love, joy, and peace. Thank you, guys. I'll see you next week. And come on back. Love, joy, peace. There's no challenges, guys. This is the world. You know, let's just love everybody. We are actually called to love everybody. But it's important as to how we love people. But I would say there is pretty much no difference between the Christian that is politically correct and in a coma. Both of them are probably going to go to heaven. Neither of them are going to do anything for the gospel. Nothing. You'll do nothing for the gospel. And this is a problem because I think a lot of times we sit here and we think like this is our duty for the gospel, to show up to church, to be a believer, and to live out our lives. And that's it. And we see God at the end of our life, which of course that is my goal too. I want to see God at the end of my life. But man, I don't want to be a vegetable while I'm alive here. While I'm in this short vapor life, the Bible talks about our life being but like a vapor. But man, I don't want to be a vegetable. Come on. Okay, Luke. We're going to be in Luke for a while, so jump over to Luke. Luke, oh, I am at 13 on this one. Luke 13. I thought I was in Luke 12, but I was in Luke 13 on this scripture. Okay, Luke 13, 6 through 9, we're going to be reading. Of course. So you just heard what I said. What's the difference between a politically correct Christian and a Christian in a coma? I don't think very much. Here you go. Luke 13. Then Jesus told this story. A man planted a fig tree in his garden and came again and again to see if there was any fruit on it. But he was always disappointed. Finally, he said to the gardener, I've waited 3 years and there hasn't been a single fig. Cut it down. It's just taking up space in the garden. Now the hope, of course, I like this because I'm not going to cut out. I could stop reading there, but I want to give you some hope here as well. Hope's not canceled, amen? The gardener answered, sir, give it one more chance. Leave it another year. I'll give it special attention and plenty of fertilizer. If we get figs next year, fine. If not, then you can cut it down. And I don't want to just be taking up space in a seat in a church. I want to be active. I want to be a fruitful fig tree, right? I want to bear fruit for the kingdom. Because I think if we're not bearing fruit, if there's no fruit in our life, what are you doing? As we are doing one thing, and that is getting focused on our salvation. And that's good too. I'm happy about that. But you are called to so much more. Do you realize that when you got saved, talks about this in Romans 8. You are now part of a family. Now, what about, okay, so who has a family that's more than one? It doesn't even matter. You know what? Who's from a family? Everybody raise their hand. You're all from a family. Now, growing up, did you have a sibling or somebody that was just super lazy and never did anything in the house? And were they your favorite sibling? No. In fact, it's just funny. I saw this the other day and this is, thank God, it's God working on us and not humans, because I was working with my nephews, and one of my younger nephew was working much harder than my older nephew, and I just thought, man, I like him so much more. He's a worker. Like, I was like, uh-oh, I guess I can't have favorite nephews. I probably shouldn't. I should love them equal. I think that's what God would do. But I just think there's something for us mentally to think about. And now I'm not saved by works. I cannot do anything to make myself more saved. But doggone it, I can do something for the kingdom while I'm alive and breathing. Come on. Come on. So this idea of being politically correct and a Christian, what's the benefit? What's the worry if I'm not politically correct and a Christian? What's going to happen to you in 2020 if you're not politically correct? What happens to people that made a joke 20 years ago and it all comes up? Outrage. People are outraged. People get canceled. But you don't store up treasures on heaven, do you? Or treasures on earth. You store up treasures in heaven. Right. You don't live for this life. I live from this life to eternity. I'm not a citizen of the world. I'm a citizen of heaven. I am a child of God. I'm not a child of this world. Do you get that? We live so much more. So the worry is, this is going to affect our success. It's affected most of people's success that have any influence out there, and then they get canceled somehow, and it's going to hurt their success. So we might be worried about our success. We're worried we'll get canceled. Let's jump to Deuteronomy. And maybe you don't even have to, because if you stay in Luke, we're going to go to Luke 12 for the next several verses here. But I can read Deuteronomy to you. I want to read Deuteronomy 8:3. Now, you've heard this scripture many times in the New Testament, but this is the origin, of course. In Deuteronomy 8:3, it says, He humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. Do you realize we're walking 40 years in the desert. We just had the Exodus. We're walking 40 years in the desert, and God now is feeding us. But he humbled us by letting us go hungry. That's not something you want to, that's not something you read in church. God lets some people go hungry? That's not love, joy, and grace, right? I mean, what's going on? It's a hard message. It's something I should be cutting out, right? Let's snip that out of there. God's good all the time, right? Come on. A food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. If we don't conform to this world, what is possibly going to happen to us? If you aren't a politically correct Christian, what's going to happen to you? Well, what's the risk? Our livelihoods are at risk. Evidently, if you say something wrong or an absolute from the gospel, you could possibly lose your job. It's not just the comedians and actors that are losing stuff. It's literally people losing their jobs. There was a mother of a guy had to lose her job because her stepson did something wrong. This is recent. This is just several months ago. Her stepson did something wrong, not politically correct, of course, or whatever, and it doesn't matter whether it was wrong or right, but she lost her career because her stepson did something. You live in a wild world right now, right? How many of you are aware the world's getting wild? This is serious. Our social standing is at risk. Our friendships, now this is where it's starting to get closer to home. Our friendships are at risk if we are not politically correct. I have lost some friends recently, and it breaks my heart because it's not my goal. That's not what I want to do. That's not what I'm interested in. But they chose to leave, and that is their choice. I will continue to pursue. But most deadly of all, here it is. This is everybody in this room. Who's a believer? If you're not a believer, that's fine. But who's a believer in here? Most of us raise our hand. This is the most deadly of them all for you. My witness as a Christian is at risk if I'm not politically correct. That's silenced well over 50% of the churches in America. You don't want to preach the old gospel because you are going to be outcasted. You're going to be exactly right. You're going to get pushed out. You're going to become very irrelevant very quick. You're going to be that weird church. You're going to be that freak church because you preach the complete gospel. Hey, now listen, let's hoot and holler now. But when it comes to losing friends, man, it hurt when I lost some friends. That wasn't fun. But in this life, I'm called not just to friends. I'm called as a child of God to serve God. And I don't want to live in a state of a vegetable. I want to live as a child of God doing God's will. So we finally get to Luke 12. Luke 12, 30 and 31. These things dominate the thoughts of the unbeliever. We're talking about the risks involved with not conforming to the world. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers all over the world. But your Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Don't seek politically correct. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need. Should you realize it's totally pointless to be worried about your career, to be worried about your income, to be worried about your, unfortunately, if I'm going to lose some friends out of this deal, it's pointless because God is going to provide for all that I need. Amen. Come on. I am actually going to say this, and I know it's going to, I just don't think God is that interested in a bunch of politically correct, passive Christians. I think he loves you just the same. I think you're a son and daughter, but I think he wants more for you. I hope you understand that all this, all truth is held in tension. I've said some stuff that you guys are like, no, I have scriptures to go the opposite way on that. That's fine. All truth is held in tension. I'm just not giving you all the happy, joy, love scriptures today. I'm giving you some harder scriptures. Although for me, and I think most of us, these are exciting things that we have to be challenged with. We continue in Luke 12, jump down to 49. We're going to read until 52 there. I have come, this is it right here. This is a scripture Hannah read in her sermon about offense. this scripture is going to go against a lot of what you think. This is the truth held in tension about the gospel. Are you ready for this? I have come to set the world on fire, and I wish it were already burning. I have a terrible baptism of suffering ahead of me, and I am under a heavy burden until it is accomplished. Do you think I have come to bring peace to the world, right? Peace on earth, goodwill towards men? It says, no, I have come to divide people against each other. For now, from now on, families will be split apart. Three in favor of me and two against, or two in favor and three against. Hold on. What Bible did you get that from, right? That can't be the Bible I've been reading, because I don't hear that scripture from the preacher very often. What's the deal? What's going on? See, when you really preach complete gospel, like I said, you find out truth is held in tension. This is the danger of creating a theology out of one scripture. What if I created a theology out of just that scripture? I don't think the church would be very peaceful anymore. In fact, it would look something very different. But I'm explaining, I'm getting that scripture out there to you to challenge a couple things. That the gospel's not all about just peace, joy, and love, although it is, at the same time it is. But how do you get there? Is it loving if I let my daughter eat nothing but junk food all day? Is that loving to my child? I mean, she's probably going to develop like type 2 diabetes. I love her. Let her eat whatever she wants. Right? A good father doesn't spare the rod. Right? Spare the rod, spoil the child. This is something about the gospel that we have to understand, that all truth is held in tension. And we have to apply ourselves to the complete gospel, not just the scriptures we like. Now, so, like I say, again, some of this stuff, you guys are like, what is going on? So here's the complete gospel. And this is where I see So I'm just going to tell you guys right now, before you get really confused as to why this sermon came up, because you guys are like, well, what happened that Ryan got all this craziness going in his mind? I read a book recently by a guy I really like. Matt Walsh wrote a book called The Church of Cowards. Turned me off right away. I was like, I ain't reading that book. I'm sure he's got it wrong. That's what I thought. Needless to say, I felt in preparation for this sermon, I felt it important to read the book, which is strange, but I just felt like God is leading me to read this book. Now, this is not like I'm saying, you guys, we've done something wrong, guys, we got to figure this out. I'm saying this book, or this book that Matt Walsh wrote is a very timely word for the season that we're in. 2020, like I already told you, has been getting more and more wild. I don't have to tell you that. You guys are all living it. And we have to know these absolutes. We actually have to know the gospel. Or you're going to, if you don't stand for something, you're going to fall for anything. That's the old phrase. Well, it's really true. I mean, you have to know the gospel or you're going to fall for a lesser gospel. You're going to fall into the world's gospel. Do you get that? So here's some hard things that I believe the church at large has made some very big mistakes by erasing scripture and accepting. There's a difference between tolerance and acceptance. Acceptance is dangerous. Tolerance, I believe tolerance is okay for a season in these ways, and you're going to hear this. This is the biggest one, I think, hands down, I see everywhere. It does not matter. Listen, guys, sex outside of marriage is a sin. I mean, we can say that all day, but like, listen, sex outside of marriage, cohabiting is a sin. What? Okay, so you're just a prude. I love this woman. No, the truth is the opposite. You don't love that woman. You love you. That's why you cohabit. It's all about me. So I got something without having to commit to that person. I got something without having to wait. My instant gratification, I got it. Having sex before marriage is you loving you. It has nothing to do with loving that person. Whew. It's good. Come on.
Do another.
So that one's going to come easy. The next couple may not come easy. The next one that's a trouble, and this is a real problem with, here's the biggest problem in the church today. Hands down, I think, bar none, this is it. Homosexuality is a sin. I'm sorry. Now listen, that doesn't mean because you're homosexual here today, you have to get out, get up and leave. Not at all. In fact, I hope the opposite is true. I think it's probably far more common that people are having sex with their dates or whatever you want to, whomever they're dating or whoever they're cohabiting with. It's not any worse than sin. One sin's not worse than the other. Do you get that? I believe that. Come, I want to challenge you. As I did, there was a couple in the church that were living together for a while, and we all challenged them, and bam, they stood up to it and they got married. They understood the truth in the gospel, and they didn't want to live in sin anymore. That's been happening for years. I've done that with like 10 of my friends now. I'm like, guys, a little loose maybe on the gospel, but I said, listen, if you believe in Jesus, believe in the principles of God. They're not here to harm you or slow you down. They're actually here to help you. You will have a better marriage because of it, because you waited, because you've tried to do this. You made an attempt. So anyway, being a homosexual, it is a sin. Clear as day, many scriptures. Actually, there's many more scriptures on sex outside of marriage, but there is many scriptures on homosexuality as well. Homosexuality as well being a sin. Racism is a sin. I think everybody can yell amen awfully loud on that. It is clear as day. We are all children of God. It does not matter what we look like or where we're from. We're children of God. Now, this is another one that it's interesting. False religion acceptance. Accepting false religions. Now, there is a difference here, Donna. This is where, like I said, some of y'all are going to be challenged on this. Do you guys realize that God is vehement in the Old Testament about attacking? He attacks, literally with men, attacks false religion, fake gods. Listen, as a believer in Christ, and when we become a believer in Christ and a son of God, we have to know there is no other religion. It's all fake, false, fabricated. Now, the origins of the religion, I'm not going to say they're false origins. I'm going to say that those origins exist. It's just that's not really a god. That was a man that you made into a god. And so what I want you guys to do is not go out and attack people because they are in some other religion. But I have to tell you as Christians, and in being politically correct, you can never accept another religion as a legitimate religion. There is nothing, there is no other God except for Jesus. Again, this is not something I'm like tickled pink to tell you. This is not that fun. I'm just telling you hard truths that in this day and age, in 2020 and beyond, these are truths you have to hold deep into your heart because you will sway in the wind and go somewhere you don't want to go. And in fact, you'll find out that you're no longer listening to the Good Shepherd's voice. You're listening to the voice of the world. Sounds really similar. That's the whole point. See, like my dad is saying, hear sheep, guess what? A thief could come say the same thing. It sounds just the same. It's the same words. But it's not God. It's a fake God. It's a false religion. So anyway, there's some of those things that we just have to lock down. Of course, doing anything that God told you not to do, that's sin. I thought it was really cool. This has been years ago Eric said this, but I thought it was really powerful. Eric once said that chewing his fingernails, God told him to stop chewing his fingernails. And he believed, and I believe completely, is that if he chewed his fingernails, that's sin. Now, do I believe it's a sin if you chew your fingernails? No. That is a personal application of God in your life and working on us. So, to be politically correct, we don't bring these subjects up. In fact, we conceal them in a desire to continue to be relevant and connected. And hopefully we can maintain our witness and be representatives of love and acceptance, grace, and be Christians that are liked everywhere, accepted everywhere. I'm just not interested in that, man. I don't know about you. Okay, Luke, I know I got a lot of scripture, but scripture is scripture. I mean, you can't turn your back on this stuff. You got to read it. Okay, so in Luke, I believe we were still in 12 and we're down to 54. Then Jesus turned to the crowd and said, when you see clouds beginning to form in the west, you say, here comes a shower. And you're right. When the south wind blows and you say, today it'll be a scorcher, and it is. You fools, you know how to interpret the weather signs of the earth and the sky, but you don't know how to interpret the present times. Why can't you decide for yourselves what is right? This is really an important word. That scripture is timely. Can you say that scripture is timely? Listen, guys, we can. I saw this morning, I was like, it's a cloudy day, it might rain. Might come on through. But for me to ignore the fact that, like I said, the world is in some kind of a crazy state. I think if I asked my grandfather would have said the exact same thing. The world is crazy. He goes, I remember the 60s. There's some crazy stuff happening. I'm not saying that this is a spectacularly special time, although maybe it is. And no one knows the day or time that Jesus is coming back. But maybe it is. Miles and I talked about this, and I talked about it in a devotional. I want to be found, man, having my hand on the plow and laboring for the kingdom when Jesus comes back, rather than being a vegetable in a coma and being like, here I am, Lord, come pick me up. He ain't even going to get up. He ain't going to be like, man, I heard the Lord picks us up. Like, seriously, that is what I'm after. No, guys, I hope that again. I don't want anybody to feel like, oh my gosh, that's so rude. I'm new in the faith. Take it easy. Yes. But man, there's so much more as a child of God. I want you to run. Now, here's how it happens. Here's how that coma happens. I don't think anybody's willingly laying down and being like, coma, sweet. I'll see you whenever Jesus comes, picks me up. No, actually, it happens slowly. You go to Encounter, which is going to happen in a couple weeks. You want to get serious about some of this stuff? Come to Encounter. You go to Encounter. You have an awesome experience. Evidently, it changes everybody's life. We all raised our hand the second time on that question. And then life starts hitting you after Encounter. You keep coming to church. You get plugged into a small group or a connect group. And you continue to do things in the church. Be connected. But then slowly that fire of the excitement of Encounter or whatever God encounter you had slowly starts to burn out. You didn't add any kindling to that. You didn't throw any more logs on the fire. It just starts to slowly burn out. And then all of a sudden work happens, right? Some crappy days at work happen. You're really distracted. That takes up all your time. You have very little free time. I have two kids. I have little free time. If I worked a normal 9-to-5 job, I would probably have like no free time. So that's most of you guys have no free time. We're Americans. That's kind of how we live, right? Free time is a waste of time. Time's money, right? And then the free time we get, what do we do with that little bit of time at night, probably before we go to bed or maybe after dinner, whatever it is? What do you do with that time? What does every American do with that time? Yeah, we're going to watch TV. We're going to get on Facebook. The small times during the day, those are the money slots, I like to say. Those are the good times in the day to get yourself after the gospel. What do we do? Flip open our phone and start strumming through Facebook. Flip open our phone and start watching whatever. There's some things here, guys, that we have to be aware of. Pretty soon, all you are at that point, now that you're like, dude, the fire has kind of gone out because you've put it out. Literally, you've put the fire out. By the time of the end of that story, you've put the fire out. You've not added any logs to the fire. You've not added any kindling because you've filled up all your time and you've not put God in any of the slots, those time slots. Like I say, most of us have days that get full. Some projects go too long and my day's all over and I got to go home and go to sleep and do the same thing the next day. And you have not put God in your day at all. Like I said, most of us are going to slip into a coma. You're not going to suddenly be like, yeah, I'm going to lay down and go to sleep and then just, no, I'm saying that most of us are completely unaware of the coma we're living in. I was unaware of the bit of a coma I was living in. Specifically, as a minister of the gospel, I just told Miles this the other day. I said, man, there's a lot of things I want to be good at, but I'm more of a jack of all trades, master of absolutely nothing. And I'm like, man, I just want to be good at, like, I want to get better at one thing and really get good at that. And I'm like, it's staring me in the face. It's the gospel. It's the career choice I've chose. So why have I been putting my mind on other things for so long and not filling the time slots in my life with times getting into the Word and Scripture? Because if I don't know the Word in Scripture, pretty soon things on the TV sound pretty good. They sound pretty accurate, right? Makes sense. That news anchor said it right, man. That makes sense to me. So, and all of a sudden you don't know Scripture, so you don't know truth. Now, guess what? You don't know truth. It's His truth or my truth or anybody's truth. Truth is relevant. Truth is relevant. And yet, if you know God, it's not relevant at all. Truth is truth. Absolute. So anyway, obviously I've hit on this, but the enemy has launched an attack on you. His goal is to put that fire out in your life. How is he doing it? Maybe, like I said, maybe you perceive what I just said. You're well aware of that. Or maybe that's like totally new. You're like kind of dawned on me that, yeah, I guess I don't read Scripture ever. And if I do, it's like once a week. Once a week, you're going to starve to death. Once a week, you will starve. Twice a week, you're starved to death. Three times a week, starving to death. Eating once a day, you're kind of starving a little bit. Man does not live by bread alone. This is an absolute truth. This isn't an idea. This isn't like an analogy. And I know that you understand, like, most of us are taking it that way. But it's not that. It's truth. And if we take it for granted, if we just say, no, I mean it. We just don't, we see the storm coming. We see a political storm. We see a crazy world pandemic. And those are clearly storm clouds, guys. And yet if you looked outside and you saw them, you'd say, uh-oh, it's going to rain. Go batten down hatches. It's going to rain and storm. But you aren't doing it spiritually. You're not filling those places in your life with food. If you know the pandemic, I stocked up a little bit. I was a little bit prepared. Why wouldn't I do that spiritually in my life? Why aren't we doing that spiritually in our life? Be prepared. Eat a little more food. Put on a little fat. So I got the dad bod these days. I tell you what, man. Kids trying to read Scripture. I guess I have to cut out exercising. That's only a couple left. All right. Okay, so I've really hit on it, and I've really focused in on this idea of entertainment stealing your precious time. Like a thief in the night, it steals your day, steals your free time. You didn't spend any time with God because it stole every bit of time you had, and now it's the next day. Now you got to go to work. Nothing. So Hannah's hitting on it. Nothing in this world is neutral. How many of you can say it's just entertainment? It's just entertainment, Ryan. And it's just, this is actually a phrase I think I've used many times. I think I've told Miles, that's just entertainment, bro. It's rated R, but it's just entertainment. Let it go. I'm sorry, Miles. Sorry. And I apologize for that. Seriously, because nothing's neutral. If believing it's just entertainment, you have the identical idea to this. To say it's just entertainment, I don't really believe it. It's just entertainment. I'm just doing it for fun. It's the same as telling your friend that's trying to lose weight, Twinkies are just food, bro. It's just food. Eat it. You're hungry. Eat it. Doesn't matter the health content of it. It's just food. It's neutral. It's just entertainment. Yes, it does matter. What you consume in your brain matters. What you watch matters. You're going to act out that stuff. Do you not get that? If you don't get it, you've been tricked. I've been tricked. Those things we watch on TV, we will act those out. Now, I'm not saying like boycott TV. Again, all truth is held in tension. But I'm not going to let you guys sleep on the job either and go into your coma state of being a Christian and not doing anything for the gospel. But this is the attack. It has been launched on you for years. My grandpa would have said the same thing. Yeah, Hollywood's a bad deal, son. Don't get into it too much. Well, guess what? Netflix, if you haven't been paying attention, if you watch any of Netflix shows, there is a clear agenda, anti-God. There's one came out. Girls are going to get an abortion. She has Jesus freak parents that are trying to stop her from the abortion. She's going to travel, and it's a traveling girls getting this abortion. It's going to be really fun and exciting. They had to pull one off. It was a French film they had to pull off. That was little girls. Who knows this one? Was it they were stripping or what were they doing? They were dancing. Twerking. It's twerking. Miles, what the heck is twerking, bro? I don't know what that is. I know. I'm joking. That's some slang, man. That's some city slang. I don't know anything about that. No, okay, so seriously. Young girls. I don't know the exact age. I know they're young. Definitely not legal for a TV show to be girls traveling. This is Netflix. There is an attack on you. Can you not perceive it? The storm is here. Can you not perceive it? This is, God says it. I'm not saying this. I'm not going to call you a fool because I'm the fool. But you fools, this is Jesus. Can you not perceive it? This is back in the day as well. There is a clear agenda. There is a clear agenda to devour your time, make you a useless coma Christian. Therefore, you're not going to win souls and make disciples. You're not going to do it. We won't do it. I won't be able to do it if I continue this way. So, where does it start? Where does it start? Continuing my story about growing up as a shepherd, which is funny. My last name is Schaefer, which is a German word. They took it, when they came to America, they took the umlauts away from the A. And if they left them there, it should have been shepherd. It's actually the German word for shepherd, Schaeferis, which is ironic that I became a shepherd. I loved it. My dad loves it. And literally my lineage is shepherding sheep. As far back as you can go, we've shepherded sheep here in America and obviously in Germany. Now, my dad has that voice. You heard that voice. It's just clear, isn't it? You're sheep. He just gets perfect. I could do that all day and they just don't really come. So what my dad does is he gives me a bucket. Kind of like this bucket. Ours are cheap 5-gallon plastic buckets. This clearly is some kind of a Englishman or a Scot. Just look at the way he's dressed, man. Come on now. I love it. He's out there shaking the bucket. That's why he has a bucket. Dad had to give me a bucket full of corn because my hear sheep didn't work because I'm not the father. I am not God. But God gives me tools. He gives me a bucket. And I get to shake that bucket of corn. I say, here, sheep. I can say it then. And then all of a sudden, they hear that shaking. They know what's in the bucket. They know what's in the bucket. It's corn. Corn's a whole lot better than just out there eating grass, dry grass. Shake a little of that. Well, here's the tension. Here is the tension with this. As a minister of the gospel, I am not directly God's voice. I hope some of you guys hear the audible voice of God. That's awesome. I want that. But I've been given tools like a bucket and a pail full of corn or a pail full of corn. And I get to shake that. What does that look like as a minister of gospel when I shake the pail of corn? Feeding the flock. Okay, so 9 a.m. prayer. I'm shaking the bucket. 9 a.m. prayer. Hear sheep. I'm shaking the bucket. Encounter weekend. Hear sheep. I'm shaking the bucket. Question and answer time with David Nichols. Hear sheep. I'm shaking the bucket. Now I got to tell us some hard truths. And this word is actually for this church. You guys realize, we realize this as a staff, that the most attended events in this church are actually primarily social events. It's not the spiritual events. The night of worship doesn't get it well attended. Morning prayer, I have like nobody there really. I have 5 people, which I'm very grateful for. This is the challenge as believers. That's a word for the church. Now I'm part of that word. I have a whole lot more fun. I'm just telling you, I'm being frank. I have a lot more fun at the socials that we have, the get-togethers, the night, the men's nights and the stuff like that. And I'm more intentional. I work a lot harder on the nights that are night of worships and the prayers and the weekend conferences that we have when we can have them. But yet, not everybody shows up. Now, what happens when I get starving sheep? Sheep that have been starved. In a farm that starves their sheep, we get this actually a lot. My dad loves buying sick sheep. Again, very profound, very profound. See, I'm not coming to a church of perfectly healthy, like a doctor wouldn't go to a room full of perfectly healthy people. He comes to a room of sick people. And all of us are hungry. We're all hungry, right? So when my dad would get sick sheep, because he could get them almost for free, so he did that all the time, and he'd say, son, take care of them. I could shake the bucket all day and they wouldn't come because they don't know what they don't know what's in the bucket. They don't know how good that grain is. They don't know how good they feel after they eat the grain. Their energy is immediately restored. I shake that bucket, they wouldn't come. I have to bring the bucket to them, pour it out, and literally pray to God, God, let these sheep eat or they will starve and die. It's on you, Lord. I can do nothing more. I can do nothing more. See, like I said, the world has taught us every turn, everywhere you go, advertising, like everything you look at is all about you. And that's difficult. And it's difficult to go to things that we don't want to go to because it's not about us. You know, like when I go to, even here, you guys being here today, you came here because it's not about you, it's about the Lord. That's your intention of being here, sitting here, attending a church service. So where do we start? That's a hard word. I know, like I said, I knew at one point this would get pretty uncomfortable. But listen, I have to challenge us. I'm not here to let, how bad of a shepherd would I be if I let my sheep starve to death? I didn't know, God, I shook the bucket. I'll get to heaven and be like, Lord, I worked. I worked, shook the bucket, and they didn't. I can't do that. So this morning, what I'm doing is bringing the bucket to you and pouring the grain in front of your face and saying, it's up to you. I pray to God that you consume it. But I cannot force a sheep to eat corn. Okay, so where do we start then? So of course, today's message is today's message. I told you, you can get a message, go home and let that fire go out. And in fact, you'll throw water on the flames when you go start vegetating out on whatever show or whatever video game. I know that, like, my generation is video games. I get that, man. I play video games probably more than I watch TV because I like video games more. I can happen to it rather than TV show happening to me. So where do we start? Number one, I actually have some numbers. So if you're taking notes, we're going to have four. Number one, where do you start with all this stuff I've given you today, all these challenges? Where do you start with this? You're like, man, I'm kind of interested in this. It seems kind of cool. I'm going to try it out. Number one, read your Bible. May that be what you consume more than media. May that be what you get your face into more than Facebook. Listen, guys, I know this sounds like religious, kind of prudish, kind of not real or relevant. And yet it is more real and relevant than any other message you're ever going to hear. You have to consume scripture or the world will consume you. Okay, so number two, plug into your local church. Obviously, most of you are here. I'm actually saying that to people that are listening on TV. We, on average, have more people watch this program than we actually have sitting in this room. Get plugged into your local church. Maybe you don't go to church here. Maybe you're in a different city. Find a good church. Get plugged in. Number three, if able, actually show up to church. Now listen, if able, you get that? You get what I'm saying? We're in a pandemic. Quite a few reasons that you might not be able. Hey, you have immune system problems, pre-existing. You guys know the list. I don't have to say them. But you also know if you're able to come and if you're just making excuses not to come. Okay, so why am I bringing this up? Am I bringing this up because I'm mad that the numbers are down? Actually, the numbers aren't down. I don't care about the numbers. I care about the sheep starving to death. It is for your benefit that you show up to this church and that you don't sit at home and watch it on the screen. Now, you can still get a little bit of discipleship on the screen and do the box and do the you know what I'm talking about. Boy, I'm mumbling up here. The chat. There we go. As I told you, I'm from a farm. I'm not from this city. So you can do the chat and get some discipleship. But it's really important that I get to see your face. Because when I ask you how you're doing, and you kind of, oh yeah, I'm good. I can see, he's not actually good. I've got to ask him more. That's what you are called to do as brothers and sisters in Christ. It's important that you go to your connect group, that you have connect group as best as you can, if able. That is how iron sharpens iron. That's how we are actually going to make it. You realize, I made this point pretty clear that, but when a sheep runs away, it is extremely vulnerable. And it gets more stupid the further it runs from the flock. Dead serious. I am not saying that to insult people that are not here. I swear to you, I'm not. I am saying that from hard fact. When the sheep runs away from the flock, they almost always do it because they're afraid or because they've been hurt. So they either can't keep up with the flock or they run away from the flock. What happens almost every time? They get stuck in a fence and die. They get lost and devoured by a coyote. That's all it takes. And yet God calls us sheep. God called you sheep for a reason. These things are so applicable to our lives. So when I say, come to church if able, come to church because it's for your benefit. It's not for my benefit. Although I am happy to see you and happy to hopefully help you, feed you some good grain, good feed. I think I'm doing all right on time, right? No.
It's 11:40.
I am over.
By like 30 minutes.
I'm so sorry, guys. I just realized. I was like, what time does the service end? Wow. Okay, I am almost done. I'm almost done, and I'll finish quickly. All right, and here's another. This is going to be heavy. I'm sorry, this is heavy. One of the greatest rights of this country is being able to gather at a church. Greatest rights of this country. Come on. See, hundreds of thousands of men and women died for that right. They served this country and they died for the right for you to come sit in a chair and have church. Hundreds of thousands of people outside of this country have died simply trying to have a church. How dare you stay home when you can come to church? Sorry, that was harsh. Miles will fix that later, I think. Seriously, it's really easy to take things for granted. I don't want to do it. I'm not interested in a lukewarm Christianity. I want to be here so I can be sharpened. I want to be here so people can help correct me. I'm sure I'll get a couple afterwards, and I'm happy to receive them. So ladies and gentlemen, it is time. It is time. Stop playing church. Playing church is showing up, treating it like a social club, and going home. I'm not here to play church. I'm here to do and be the church. Amen? Amen. Stop sleeping on the job. I don't want to fall asleep into my coma getting vegetated by all the things the world has for me to consume. Doesn't matter. It's just entertainment, right? No, it's not right. Here's the biggest one. Stop treating grace like a blank check. I preached on this a while back, but I just believe that we do this. This is the idea of acceptance. I'll accept you and your sin. No, I love you to death and I hate your sin. I wish you didn't have it. Right. I literally love you to death because that's what Jesus tells me to do. And I hate that sin, man. And I want it gone out of your life because sin is death and destruction in your life. You may not see it immediately, but it's happening. I promise this last thing. Okay, become a follower of Jesus, the good shepherd. Know his voice, not the world's voice, not the instead of God's voice. Know what's in the bucket when your leader shakes it. Lastly, go get a bucket. Fill it up. Fill it up. Fill it up with scripture and start shaking that bucket. Go get a bucket. Fill it up with scripture. Shake it. All right, guys. I'm going to pray us out. I know I ran way over. I'm sorry. But I'm going to do an altar time. And I just want you guys to know that this is I've maybe been living a little lukewarm. Hey, I've been consuming way too much entertainment. There's gluttony of entertainment. I completely believe that. There's just some stuff in my life I want to sharpen up so I can get after God. I want to get that bucket and I want to shake it. Come on. Yes, Father, we thank you. We praise you for today. God, in the time we've spent, although I know I've spent a lot, Father, today, but God, I just believe that this fig tree would produce fruit, in Jesus' name, that we'd all produce fruit, God, that we wouldn't be Christians living to be politically correct so that we don't offend anybody, but that we would be countercultural, not for countercultural sake, but because it's what we're called to do. Speak truth, your truth, not my truth, not their truth, your truth, because you are truth, God, that we would no longer treat grace like a blank check, Father, and sinning be knowing that God will forgive us. It's not in our nature. That's not of a godly nature. That's not of a son or a daughter. That's not how we live, Father. We thank you. God, we know we cannot be righteous. No matter how much of these things we do, it doesn't make us more righteous. You're the only thing that makes us righteous, Father. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. Jesus, Jesus. Now, I'm going to do it a little different. I want you to, if there's any of these things that struck a chord in you today and you want to go further, you want to challenge yourself more, I just want you to stand where you're at. Stand where you're at. And we're gonna go through, we're going to pray. I'm going to get you guys out of here. Yes, Lord. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Yes, God. Father, we just want more of you, God, more of you. There's promises in your guys' lives. You guys have received prophetic words. And I want you to call them out right now. It doesn't have to be audible, but I want you in your mind to call out those prophetic words, those things, the reason you're here, when you got saved. What was that like? What was it like when you had your first love and the joy of salvation? I want you guys to tumble that in your mind in this time. God, stoke up the fire in our hearts, God, that we would burn for you. And God, that we wouldn't take this message and go stand on the soapbox and say, turn or burn. But that we would do this in love and say, I love you too much to let you to continue to sin and head directly for hell. Yes, Lord Jesus. I need us to get that today. That's the last thing. Guys, it's not wrong to be politically incorrect. If you do it out of love, do you get that? God so loved the world. Not God so hated the world that he had to come change it. No, God so loved the world. We so love people that we will call out things in their life that aren't right and are not the nature of a son or daughter of Christ, a son or daughter of Father God. We so love people. Father, we love you. We thank you, God. We know we're called to love above all things, but God, we will not abuse grace and for the sake of love, God. We are not going to abuse grace, God. We're going to go after you full throttle, God. Jesus. My last challenge, you guys, listen, get into Scripture. I've said it. I understand. You might not think it's that applicable. You're like, listen, that's just not reality. It is reality. There's a storm coming. Batten down the hatches with Scripture and truth. Be reinforced when the storm comes. Be stockpiled up on truth when there's none left in the world. In Jesus' name, we thank you. We praise you. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If today's message encouraged you, please share it with someone who needs to hear. Stay up to date with new messages by becoming a subscriber today. To find events taking place or to give to Destiny Church, visit us at destiny217.org. At Destiny Church, you can find real, relevant relationships.